Yep, it's time again for Tech Plus. Very, very welcome. You're very, very welcome. Caden is enjoying the music. He's enjoying the theme music. How's it going, Caden?
Very well, thanks. And yourself, Fiona? How have you been?
I'm still a bit foggy, eh?
COVID brain.
It is terrible, man. I spoke to somebody yesterday. He said to me, he actually had to repeat the question that he asked me 3 times because I just couldn't get it into my head. It is crazy, man. I seriously don't know. This is, I don't know how long this is going to carry on for.
The pen for your mental notepad and your head running out of ink.
That's how it feels, yes. Yes, but apparently it's a thing, eh? After COVID, a bit of a brain fog thing. I don't know how long it will persist, but it certainly isn't nice. I sound like an idiot.
I think it varies for everyone, but I don't think it's something that nobody experiences. Even, I think, after a traditional heavy-handed flu. I mean, I can remember when I was younger, I got quite sick, and I remember waking up in the evening, and I was very delusional. Like,
yeah.
I looked at my blankets and I thought they were like moving like a waterbed.
Oh wow, that's probably the fever, yeah.
It was very, yeah, I know. For a few days I didn't feel right, even though technically I was better.
Yeah, so no, it's not fun. It's lingering, man. And I look like an idiot because I forget what I want to say and stuff. And that's so bad when you're working in radio. But anyway, welcome to Tech Plus. Remember, if you want to get in touch during the show, 081-060-1640. That's a number to WhatsApp, obviously, not call. 081-060-1640. Kane, how's it been tech-wise this week?
Actually, we've got a very interesting lineup of news and information this week. It's been good. Amazon's out with something new. Xbox came out with something new. Facial reconstruction technology came out with something new. Obviously, there's some space news. Definitely always good to have some space news. South Africa has a new stock exchange, which is opening for business in South Africa.
What?
There's Instagram news. YouTube's banning things.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And also major changes to WhatsApp, also in the works at the moment. I think people are battling with Spotify. It's draining their battery at 30% per hour. It's on iOS 15 and also overheating their phones.
You know what's funny about Spotify?
Yes.
I've always sat by this thing that, you know, these ads that play on Spotify, they're just so annoying.
Loud and sibilant.
And just, like, mind-boring.
Yeah, that chick.
And you think to yourself, if I dare buy this premium subscription now, I'm advocating this type of marketing in order to get you to purchase the premium subscription. So I decided not to. But Doritos has just started advertising on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
And every third or fourth song, I get this ad where this guy's crunching a chip. And it's the most annoying sound.
Is it not working? Is it not making you list for chips?
This is the first time I'm actually either deleting Spotify or getting the premium.
Hey, after 3 or 4 songs, that's quite often, eh?
And it sometimes double plays back to back.
Yes, and you can't skip it.
And I hate crunching, especially when it's like right in your ear. So you're going for a jog, you know, you're like in the zone and you just hear this crunch. Like someone chewing a Doritos chip. It's the worst sound ever.
Yeah, that's not lacquer, hey? Yeah, but I think that's the whole purpose. Try to annoy us as much as possible so we pay the money, so we give in.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to annoy you with ads until you give in and pay? Same with YouTube. I'm still getting Bolt ads.
Yeah, and they're coming, like, they even have this thing where I feel like people end up going to a premium service because they feel like the ad mechanism is broken. Like on YouTube, when you get 3 ads back to back before your video starts of 3 completely different companies.
Yeah.
When that stuff happens to me, I just think, yo, this is either very clever or very technically stupid.
Yeah, it's probably a bit stupid, isn't it? But yes, let's go with your first story.
So we're taking a look at a college student from South Africa who's attempting to solve one of the biggest multi-billion dollar problems in crypto right now, which is keeping the access to your wallets and your funds safe. Because in how it works with crypto is you usually have a long private key, which is letters and numbers. It's like a long password, but you're supposed to keep it very private. It's got a bunch of numbers in, it's got a bunch of letters in. And if you forget it, you don't have access to your wallet again.
Didn't that happen to you?
It did.
You lost your password.
Yeah, I had stolen. Backups of it, and then my stuff was stolen, and on it was the backups, but no one ever touched the crypto.
So it means your crypto is still there, but you can't access it. Is there no way to say, hey, I forgot my password? Like,
no.
When you Is there no way?
No. So that's what this student from South Africa has tried to solve.
Mm.
Obviously, he explains that he got interested in crypto back in 2017, but during the 2020 pandemic was when he really put in the time and the effort in order to learn a little bit more, do a bit of research, and his initial idea was to come up with like a traditional insurance product that you could use to safeguard your funds. But at the end of the day, something like that is very difficult to practically implement. There's not a statistical value of how many people lose their wallets and the circumstances behind it. So a financial insurance product didn't necessarily work. So he recently put all of his money from what he saved in crypto and what he invested into something called CRPT Secure, which is a company that solves a problem that's haunted the crypto investors for parts of a decade. He reckoned that up to 3.7 million Bitcoin, worth about $159 billion or 2.4 trillion rand, out of the total 18.5 million Bitcoin so far, are lost and probably gone forever. A large number of these bitcoins were lost when the owners forgot, misplaced, or accidentally threw away the recovery phrases they need to access their crypto wallets. So if you're not using a private key, you're using a recovery phrase, which is 12 words. It's randomly generated words, and you put in the 12 words, and that's your password. It's easier to remember 12 words than it is to remember 20 odd numbers and letters.
Yeah.
So this 12-word phrase that is the key to the wallet should be written down when you create your wallet, but most times people just have the ignorance to ignore that and say, you know, well, there might be someone I can contact if I lose it, or I won't lose this phone, or whatever the case may be. So he's developed a simple and practical solution which leans on the technology already used by the banks. Whenever banks issue a new credit card, the new PIN is inscribed using PIN tab technology. The computer-generated PIN is revealed when you peel back a covering sheet. So CRPT Secure provides a disaster backup recovery plan for crypto investors by storing their 12, 18, or 24-word phrases in a safe and confidential format. So the recovery phrases are stored on 3 or 4 pages, depending on the number of words, which are then stored at different physical and secret locations. So when you want access to your funds, you basically go and you request them, and they go and collect it from these physical locations. I really like the idea. I don't think there's a practical way to just instantly solve it. You're actually still taking the risk of giving your private access information to someone to stow away securely. But at the end of the day, if you're managing a multi-billion dollar fund, you don't want it to just disappear. And it's easy to make mistakes on crypto. Just the other day, there was a $250,000 Ethereum transaction that someone paid, I think it was $23 million in a transaction fee by mistake.
Oof. How do you do that by mistake? I said to you before, when I transfer 50 rand, I OCD about it and make sure it's the right person and everything.
So you got to have your wits about you. So I do commend such initiatives and such ideas to simplify and better secure the product and process of using crypto. But at the end of the day, you got to just keep your hat on your head, you know, think about it. And then things like this won't happen. But it's cool to see someone out of South Africa solving a global issue. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. South African solving a global issue. Almost like Elon Musk.
And he's Hilton College.
Hilton College. Is that in KZN?
I think so.
Yeah. One of those fancy schools, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very fancy.
They always compete with Michaelaus, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's place where Spud's from.
Yes, exactly. That's how I know. Listen, did you hear anything more about Gabby Petito? It looks like they're still looking for that guy. They brought in this hunter now, this dude.
This human hunter.
Yeah, he's just
got bounty
blonde
hunter.
Yes, almost like there's like a blonde guy. What's his name now? I don't know. But anyway, he's like a reality TV star. He's also looking for Brian now. He says he's about to find him soon.
Well, the thing that makes me worried about that is if you're this bounty guy, you're very, very well endured with skills and things like that. But the thing you go and do is you go and tell the world. Yes, we're very close. We're about to catch him. We're right around. He's going to see that and be like, I'm out of here.
Exactly. Don't give clues to the media because he's reading it.
Exactly.
You know?
But in I read an interesting article the other day about how when police tap your phone, for example, they will almost lead you to make a mistake.
Really?
So they'll come and ask you about something and say, look, yeah, we're not really coming right with it. We've got no leads or anything. And then the person's first response is call their partner in crime and let them know the update.
And that's how they
catch you.
Yes, that's so quite clever, actually.
It could be a little breadcrumb.
Yeah, just to a get breadcrumb, exactly.
To someone to make a mistake.
But this guy's so scary, the guy who popped in and is assisting them now. I just can't get his name now, man. Anyway, when he showed up at the parents' house, they actually phoned 911. That's how scary. Phone 911 for this guy appearing there. I'll get his name soon.
That's a scary guy. That guy is in a very, very tight pickle in regards to where he can actually go, because it's become quite... I didn't think he anticipated to be quite such a global problem.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog.
Yeah.
Dog.
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 Like woof woof.
He's Dog the Bounty Hunter. Yeah. Wow. He's obviously better at looking than he is at naming himself.
You see, but that's a massive thing, you know, and the question is, are they ever going to find him? I mean, the world's a big place. Let's say he left the country already. How are they going to prosecute him and all that kind of stuff?
If I was him, I would get caught now. Because if the public and the wrong people find you, you're in trouble. Because they might not give a crap about handing you in alive. You know, especially after all the dodgy stuff that he's done and all the dodgy places you have to go to hide.
I just want to show Kane a picture of this guy. If he ever comes and looks for me...
This guy looks like he should be a Guardians of the Galaxy.
if he ever comes and looks for me, I will just make sure I disappear. I will go into space with Elon Musk or something, because he looks so scary. But anyway, let's hope he finds him. I mean, Brian has to pay. He's got a responsibility. He's responsible for what happened, it would seem. Allegedly, yeah. As they say, allegedly. Anyway, when we come back, there's some news on the DStv front. They wanted to launch another new product this week, but now they've got a shortage of chips. Not Doritos.
They could ask Spotify.
Yes. So they've got a shortage on chips and also some more news on DStv, which I'll tell you. Very interestingly, my broadband took one of their decoders apart. For people who don't have DStv anymore, but let's say you still have a decoder. Now you're wondering, what can I do with it? Don't chuck it away. You can do something with it. I will tell you. If you just joined us, a very big hello to you and welcome to the show. Our WhatsApp line again. If you want to engage with us, you're more than welcome. 081-060-1640. Kane, last week we spoke about DStv and all the things they're trying to do now, like launching their own ISP, their own internet service. Guess what they're trying to do now?
What's that?
What do you think?
What is DStv trying to do?
Yes.
As long as they're not charging me for a TV license, I'm happy.
No, that's still going on. I haven't decided yet. they actually want to release a new streaming box, you know, almost like a media box.
Yes.
Like the one I've got.
Like a smart TV modular thing that you plug
little
into
box.
Your TV.
Yeah, little box. It runs on Android and all that stuff. So they want to launch their own one equipped with HDR10 and Dolby Vision support, whatever that means. But anyway, now they can't release it because there's a chip shortage, a global chip shortage. So they've delayed the launch now of their new hardware.
I think that probably means the manufacturing of the product, which they have designed and tested and demoed already, they cannot manufacture enough units to satisfy their expected customer base.
Yeah, they must have a lot of customers left, you know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see they actually going into the streaming game. I mean, that's all the rage anyway at the moment.
It is a very good move from them, and it is about time they move away from the whole cable, satellite, TV, issue.
Yeah.
I haven't actually sat down and enjoyed DSTV for quite a few years.
Yeah, like really enjoyed it.
And I don't necessarily miss it, to be honest.
Because that's when they came out with you can now rewind and you can forward, you know, they wanted to give you more control over the content,
yes.
The PVR, and record your shows and stuff. And then people were trying to take the hard drive out of the the PVR to watch the shows on their laptop, and they learned that it was heavily encrypted, so they couldn't do that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but that brings me to the next thing. My broadband recently cracked open a DSTV Explorer decoder, you know, because people don't have DSTV anymore.
Right.
And they want to, you know, you can't sell the thing. People won't buy it. I've seen it online. They won't buy it. Even if you sell it for R100, they won't buy it. So they cracked open the Explorer decoder, and guess what they were able to kind of take out and use again?
They took it apart and built a bicycle.
No, but seriously, what do you think, if you think of all the components now?
Well, you got your hard drive, you got your encoder,
there you go.
You got your infrared thing.
Fan.
The fan.
Okay, so they were able to use two of the things in there. You can take out the hard drive.
Okay.
I think it's a C drive or something.
Yeah, it probably is.
A C drive or, wait, there was a name here, I just can't find it now. Seagate.
Oh, Seagate hard drive.
A 2 terabyte Seagate hard drive.
Okay.
They were able to take out.
Okay.
You can format it and reuse it again for your computer, but you can't use what's recorded on it. It's encrypted.
Oh, right. So you can actually just take that. That's actually pretty handy. The hard drives are hard to come by.
Yeah, so exactly.
Because
those hard drives cost a lot of money, so you've got a free hard drive in your house right now in your storage unit.
Where's my DSTV decoder?
Yeah.
I know I had one
somewhere. Go and get it. You can actually reuse it. And then the other thing you can use is the fan. Apparently, it's got a really good fan in. So if you need a fan for your computer, crack open your old Explorer. Is this even legal?
Sticky tape it in.
Yeah, but interesting. So at least you can reuse the hard drive, you know? And the funny thing is it was manufactured here in South Africa. So it was built here in our country.
Oh, wow.
The Explorer.
Just
so you
like
can
a PCB board.
Yeah, oh. You can reuse some of the components instead of chucking it away. Don't throw it away. You've got a hard drive sitting in there right now that you can reuse if you know how to. Because we all know hard drives are, as you said, hard to come by. They cost a lot of money, actually.
Well, so you mentioned now that they're very hard to sell. So what I would do is, if it's very hard to sell and there's stuff that's being sold, a really cool business idea would be to actually buy off old DSTV decoders.
And sell the hard drives and make a profit.
And sell the hard drives for a profit.
As long as the drives are formatted, I see no reason why you can't do it.
See a new business come up. Fans and hard drives.
I think we just started a new business, Kane. But it says here a new drive costs around 900 rand, which means it can be worthwhile to buy a cheap second-hand decoder just for the component.
Yeah, definitely. 2 terabyte hard drive.
2 terabyte Seagate hard drive. I still have mine. I'm going to take it apart.
It's going to be disappointing for the people who take apart their decoders that don't have PVR.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, which part is the hard drive?
And please don't take apart your old Mnet decoder, because you will only find dust.
Metal shavings and dust.
Yes, shame, man. Oh, and a whole family of spiders living in there as well. What have you got for us next, Kane?
So Amazon has released something new. We remember the voice recognition bots that Amazon had. Alexa.
Yes, Alexa.
My name. So they've made a new one, and it's called Astro. It basically looks... It looks very interesting. If I had to describe how it looks like a three-wheeler with a display in the front and a little pouch at the back. And it's got two big eyes. And it says, it's obvious that Amazon was going for like a Wall-E sort of vibe with a cutesy look that's supposed to be endearing. But Astro's oversized dead eyes just bring into mind corporate horror and a scenario where it chases you down the passage while asking if you've cancelled your Prime subscription. So it looks very scary if you were worried about technology like that. But the actual idea behind it, I think, is pretty unique. So it's relatively low. It's about 2 feet tall. It's got a camera on it. And it's got a second camera that kind of comes out like an antenna and goes 1.5 meters high. And it can actually become an observing like robotic security application where it patrols your house doing nothing in particular but just looking for potential issues. Like if they see that a door is open, it'll tell you, or if it sees someone, you know, carrying out your TV, it will sneak to your room and just whisper in your ear that
really
wrong.
Someone's taking your TV.
Alert, alert. So I think it's really, really cool. They've currently released it as a kind of invitation only device. So it's currently will cost you about $1,000 or 15,000 rand, and it's expected to actually sell on Amazon for about $1,500. But I think it could be relatively useful. You know, if you're in your bed, you're too lazy to go get a bag of chips, I don't exactly know how this thing's going to go fetch that for you, or what in particular it's going to do other than voice recognition, turning on music, pausing TV, and that sort of stuff. But I think it could be pretty cool. But the whole privacy thing does come into play. I mean, this thing's got a giant two sets of cameras on it patrolling your house. You can block certain rooms off so that it can't enter.
I won't get it.
It's still dodgy,
you know,
though.
Why?
Why?
I watched Child's Play recently on Netflix.
Oh,
have you seen it?
No.
From 2019. It's a movie about this doll. Everybody's buying it. It's like a craze at the moment. It looks a lot like Chucky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look there in the top left
corner.
Oh,
wow. Yeah,
looks a lot like Chucky. But it actually observes what you're doing, and it learns, and it's controlled by humans, and it murders people and stuff.
No. I don't like the idea of that.
It's very, very creepy. But the whole thing is, what makes the movie so good is this guy in the factory somewhere in China where they manufacture it. His boss was really mean to him, and he then did something to one of the dolls. He kind of overrided some of the settings on it, so he made it really evil. And then that doll went into the batch. And then this guy, this young boy, his mom buys that doll for him. The faulty one.
Word.
He happens to be that faulty one. And that one is murder on two legs. It's quite a good movie, actually. It's based on an 80s horror film. It's called Child's Play on Netflix, if you want to check it out.
That's really, really cool.
But what
cool.
you just said, it really reminds me of that movie.
Well, I think, for example, I mean, this robot's on three wheels. They advertise the fact that you can talk to it and it can roam around your house and it can be like a security feature, and maybe it can turn on your alarm or maybe it makes a loud noise. But if you're a burglar, you break into a house and you're confronted with a three-wheeler robotic
just
thing,
kick it.
You're just going to kick it one good kick.
Yeah.
And carry on with your,
exactly.
your nightly
it's,
activities,
yeah.
you know?
Can't they make it more scary or bigger?
Pulls out a Glock. Hey! Shoots you with a pepper bullet or something. Here's something very interesting as well. So, Xbox Cloud Gaming has launched in Australia, Brazil, Mexico, and Japan. And I don't know if you know what cloud gaming is, but we have spoken about it
yeah,
a little bit.
You're playing against a lot of people from all over the world.
Not necessarily. What is actually happening is, because the internet has gotten faster and faster and faster, the fact that you traditionally, when you set up your computer and you play a game or you do some video editing, the numbers are being crunched by your computer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
your computer is sending that information visually to your screen. So what they've done is they've replaced your computer with a cloud-based computer. So
you spoke about it. Yeah, yeah.
So you send the information to the cloud.
Oh,
the
okay.
cloud processes that information, crunches that data, and then sends it back to your screen for you to experience
okay.
and play on. So when Xbox has released their cloud-based gaming, what's actually happening is you might be playing on like an Xbox One, and as long as you have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you can then go and actually take part, and if you're in one of the regions, you can go and sign up for xCloud, which will basically make your Xbox gaming be computated by an Xbox Series X, which is the best Xbox there is. It will be, the numbers will be crunched there on the server, and they'll come back to your computer with better frames per second, higher quality settings, faster you know, game load times, and all that sort of stuff. So your Xbox isn't working as hard, but all the data's being crunched
okay.
on a different cloud.
My question
server.
Obviously would be, how good must your internet be?
Exceptional.
Yeah, like what, fiber? Definitely fiber.
Well, to put it in layman's terms, your screen, like normally when you're playing like professionally or trying to get the best computer setup as possible, your screen will have between 1 millisecond and 3 millisecond response time. And right, there's 1,000 milliseconds in a second.
Mm.
So it takes between 1 and 3 milliseconds for the information to go from you to your computer and to your screen. And that's how quick it responds. So when you're cloud-based gaming, sure. Traditionally, if you're playing on a European server, you're going to get about 180 millisecond delay.
Yeah, you can't have any latency.
Back,
yeah.
Which is already almost 100 times more than a traditional screen.
Mm.
So you have to be close to the server. That's probably why they've launched it in particular regions. Regions that they can probably guarantee anywhere from 5 to 15 millisecond ping or latency. So it's definitely possible. You might notice a slight difference, but at the end of the day, if you're playing a game that isn't very, very highly fast-paced, competitive, you're getting a better visual experience, you're getting a better frame rate or response time, and your games are loading much, much faster.
So to the people with 2 meg ADSL Telkom lines, sorry we shattered your dreams, but yeah, it's not going to work for
stick
you.
Stick to the toaster.
Yes, but apparently they're doing away with ADSL all over the place. I mean, most of the ADSL just crumbled underground anyway, but that what's left is being removed now. It's all fiber now.
ADSL is terrible.
It's gone.
It's absolutely terrible.
It's a dying thing, just like DSTV and all.
Remember
that.
Dial-up?
Yeah.
Hated that.
Yeah.
I have nightmares about that.
You still hear it.
I wake up in a hot sweat and I just hear...
Really?
No, but it is horrible. I'll never forget that sound.
Yeah,
but
that was... It was one of those noises that just cut right through your head.
Yeah, no. It tickled your spine.
It's embedded into your brain now. When we come back, online car license renewal app for South Africa, we finally have a launch date for that, so that's going to help you to avoid the queues, because who wants to go and stand in a queue in COVID time? And also there's some major changes to WhatsApp still in the works. We're going to talk about that as well. And welcome back to Tech Plus. It is, as always, good to be with you to share the news regarding technology, and always nice to have our expert here in studio as well and giving us his comments on it. Right. Okay, so there's a new online car license renewal app that's going to be launched soon. Being South Africa, it's obviously taking some time to release the app. I'm sure a lot of money has been stolen since the development of it. I'm just being realistic, not negative. But the South African Post Office is developing it, Kane. So what are you expecting?
Really?
What are you expecting?
The South African Post Office
says it has begun development on a mobile application to renew motor vehicle licenses and plans to release it by the end of October. So you're probably going to have like a lot of glitches in there. It's probably going to crash. And then this line we have in South Africa all the time, the biggest excuse all over the show, as always, is... Yeah, I'm sorry, the system is offline. So the app is also going to be offline, okay? Yes, but I think the main reason they're doing this, of course, is because of COVID. We don't want to stand in queues, and you know how long it takes. And social distancing. So how do you fit 100 people in the post office and they all have to be apart?
I must say, the post office, I don't quite know how they selected the team that will be working on that. Because, I mean, the post office in South Africa...
Won't expect
as an understatement, is a little bit unreliable.
Yep.
I've had something sent to me from overseas, and I think it took about 5 months. It got to me.
You're lucky it got to you.
But some people have told me these things don't arrive.
No, they don't. They don't.
And you're
very lucky.
And I find it very strange, because once I ordered something from overseas, and it went through the post office, so I get this little pink slip from the post office. Uh-huh. It's delivered to my door. Now, I lost the pink slip. Now, you can't get your package without the pink slip.
Exactly.
So
can't even show your ID, man.
I would show my ID. Mm-hmm. I'll let them do a fingerprint scan. They can do whatever they want. But at the end of the day, if you don't have that pink slip, you can't collect your package.
What happened to your pink slip?
It's a pink slip the size of a half a piece of A5 paper.
You lost it.
It's gone.
Probably went down the toilet or something.
Yeah, but I think if they, as this might be the time that they turn around and come back with something really good. I would be happy to be able to do, there's 3 things I want to be able to do.
Mm.
I want to be able to order the new ID card via online.
Yeah.
Apply and let like people like my brother and stuff like that be able to apply for their learners and their driver's licenses online.
Yes.
And be able to renew your car license online.
Exactly.
That's the fact that you have to wait in this queue for what feels like a little over 150 days just to get in. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and sometimes you wait in the queue only to get to the front and hear that somebody's not there today and they can't help you.
No, and you know what? There's actually, there's a little bit of politics in those lines. There's like an economy there. It's funny, if you sit there, because you sit there long enough, you watch the crowd, you start seeing there are, out of every five people that get into the line, there's one person that just really wants to skip this line. And they try at their utmost to skip this line. They come up with rubbish stories. They're like, no, you know, my friend is in there. I just got to get in. Or they'll come and they'll just, no, 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 I just got to do this. They're like, yeah, you have to wait in the line. No, 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 I just need to
do that. Yeah, they won't accept it. Nobody wants to wait.
No, or because here in Nasdaq, there's some ATMs. So some people go into the ATMs and they kind of stand there like, doot, 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 doot. And then they go walk into the door. The one time we were standing in the line to go into the traffic department, and there was about 25 people in the line, and we were maybe number three from going in. And the one guy came out the door, and he's like, no, 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 don't stand in front of the door. Stand on the right of the building, which was literally away from what looked like a line to the traffic department. So every new person that came just went straight into the traffic department because they didn't actually see the line. So we were standing like, what do we do, you know? So I hope it's better than
we're
that.
We're done with queues. No more queues.
No.
So it's nice that they're doing it at least. They're working on the development of it. I wonder what it would look like, you know? Is it going to be like really basic, or do you think it's going to be advanced? Is it going to look like somebody designed it on Microsoft Word using WordArt?
I hope it's better than the Telkom app. Just be better than the Telkom app.
But I've never seen the Telkom app. Is it bad?
I've had not such a lekker time using it.
It's always down.
It looks a little bit better than it has been, but like sometimes you'll... Like, it gives you the same error for different things. So if you have to answer, they'll say, we've emailed you a one-time PIN. And you get it via
those
SMS.
OTPs, yeah.
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 Then you get it via SMS. They say they emailed it to you, checking your email inbox. And then you see, oh, wait, I got an SMS. So then you go and you enter in the PIN, but you enter it in wrong. And they say the system has encountered an error. But if you enter it in right, then it works. So the error messaging and the communication aspects of it is a little bit disconnected. I don't imagine that my older family members will be able to just sit down and use the app fluently. So as long as it is good enough so that a 50-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old can use the app, then fine.
Yeah. You know,
we don't need it to be advanced. But just let it work.
But at least you can on the positive side, you can book your vaccinations online as well, which is nice.
That's nice.
That's a nice advancement in our country, I think.
Yeah. Because the post office, if you had to book it at the post office, you would stand in that line for the... you see the the line for the grants.
Oh, yes.
No, it's madness.
It's not good.
It's madness.
You don't want a lot of people like that in one place.
No, not during COVID. No. You don't want to go get your grant for COVID and catch COVID getting your grant.
Oh, my word. The irony.
That's exactly it. So do you want to hear what's next?
Yes.
Okay, so they're using new technology to take a look at some ancient mummies. So, you know, in Egypt, they found the mummies, and some of them are over 2,000 years old. So there's a technology now called DNA phenotyping, and it's the process of reconstructing someone's facial features, not based off of their existing body, but based off of their DNA. So they use DNA to sequence how someone would look in 3D at a particular age by looking just at DNA. So they've done this on some of the Egyptian mummies, and it's offered an intriguing glimpse into what these three mummies would have looked like more than 2,000 years ago. And it's just funny for me because I feel like just looking at this picture, I'll show you the three people that they've reconstructed. Somehow they all three of them look like one of my friends that I know. I mean, what are the odds?
Really?
So I don't know how accurate it is, but they look like normal people. And it's really cool to be able to do something like that. And you realize that, 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, people looked like us, you know?
They looked like our friends.
Yeah, except they were carrying huge blocks of granite to build a pyramid and we are enjoying Netflix. Yeah. It's a bit of a different world, you know?
Very, very, very different.
But I thought it was cool. And remember, speaking of ancient things and new and exciting stuff, we move on to space. NASA's Mars helicopter, the Ingenuity. Remember we spoke about it?
Yeah.
We were there when it landed on
Mars.
Yes,
thanks to you, yeah.
Yes, we were there when it took its first flight.
Yes.
We were there when it took its third flight.
And when it exploded.
It didn't explode
yet. No, I'm joking.
So the helicopter was about to do its 14th flight.
Mm.
And for those people who don't know what the Mars Ingenuity helicopter is, it's a little helicopter that they sent up to Mars that has the ability to take off aerially and travel into the sky, observe the landscape from above, and then return to its starting position. However, it takes between 8 and 12 minutes for someone to send a message from Earth to the receivers on Mars in order to send commands and stuff. So all of this stuff has to be done autonomously. It needs to happen in a programmatic fashion, because no one is standing there holding the controls. It's happening automatically. So they recently encountered an anomaly while they were trying to take their next flight a few days ago, and it turned out to be an uneventful flight because Ingenuity decided not to take off. The failure to fly was a good thing. The chopper detected an anomaly in two flight control servo motors while it was running its routine pre-flight check systems. The flight cancellation means Ingenuity won't try to take off again until past mid-October. And the reason for that is, it's very interesting, I thought it would be a very interesting thing to bring up, because the failure to take off isn't necessarily such a bad thing. It goes to show that on Mars there is definitely might be mechanical wear and tear, on the vehicle. It's sustained more flights than it was built to sustain. But really interestingly now, currently it's Earth on the one side of the solar system, the Sun in the middle, and Mars on the other side. So it's very difficult to send a signal from Earth or send a command from Earth to Mars correctly while you have a giant sun in the middle of the signal. You know, it's like trying to use a remote control on a TV, but you're standing between like a rock hard 12-foot steel, you know, surface. It just doesn't work very well. So they've now gone in and put it on pause, and they're currently running some more tests. But up until the 16th of October, you can't really do anything on Mars right now because the sun is in the middle. Which is something you don't really expect. You think you could just like take off and head to Mars. But if you were trying to fly to Mars right now, it would be a toasty journey.
Yeah.
It would be very, very hot.
Yeah.
And uncomfortable. And you probably
will die.
If you try to attempt that flight.
Yes. Listen, Kane, news from Texas, but it is actually Texas law enforcement officials. They're suing Tesla.
Why?
Because its autopilot engaged vehicle recently crashed into 5 police officers. more headaches for Elon. It's just the latest legal headache for the automaker as it seeks to roll out its controversial driver assistance software to more customers. But somehow it's not working. I mean, you've also had a case where it crashed into a wall or something?
Yeah. It was supposed to take a right turn and just continued onward.
So, you see, I told you, I don't trust it. And now it just drives over the police.
You're just driving down the street the one day and you just check a Tesla in shackles, you know?
Yeah.
Like being walked off.
But I think the policemen are fine, but they were injured in it.
Well, they got hit by
badly injured.
Oh, badly injured.
Yes, it says they were all badly injured. No. And it took place earlier this year, but the court case is actually starting now. It happened in February this year in a small town in Montgomery County.
I wonder if there was anyone in the car at the time.
I don't think so.
Because he would be stressed out. But the most stressed out I tell you right now, if I'm standing in the middle of a road as an officer or a road marshal,
and
I see a car coming at me with no one in it, it can stop or not. I'm not going to stand in the road any longer. Yes. I'm going to vacate the road. Yes,
unless it creeps up from behind.
No way. I will be out of there. I'll do a cartwheel off the road. I'm not sticking around here. Even if a car was stationary with no one in it, but was in the road, I'd be cautionate about entering the road.
But obviously this autopilot thing's not working. It didn't detect the officers or their cars.
No.
So it just went right through them.
They can't arrest the car.
Why? Yeah, Elon, why?
Why, he wanted Elon to release his newest Tesla model with no steering wheel.
Elon, now, once again, this week, the richest man in the world. You went back to the top position.
Is he rich again?
Yeah, rich again.
That's why they're
suing him.
These
lawsuits are nothing, man.
No, man. It's like a scratch on his windshield in comparison. Kind of exactly. Same as the cops left on his Tesla.
Exactly.
I can't believe it. He should actually be fined for that.
Yeah. Hey, Elon, what have you got for us when we come back?
So, interestingly enough, Mars, because we were on the Mars topic, we can see we've done some investigation. Some scientists have done some investigation into the valleys and the crevices of Mars because people were very interested. Why is there such a dynamic surface area on Mars? Like, why are there so many craters? You know, why are there so many valleys? And it's been indicated that catastrophic floods on Mars could have caused this issue.
Oh.
And the thing is, if you have a lot of glacial ice and it's very, very cold and it heats up, the ice melts.
Mm.
And as that happens, as temperatures rise, your atmosphere can deteriorate and you can lose all of the water.
We're wrapping it up here on Tech Plus today with Kane. Kane, your next story sounds very interesting.
Oh, you are right, sir. Morgan, a co-author of a paper published Thursday in the journal Nature, explains how ancient lakes on the Mars red planet became bloated enough to overtop their rims. The resulting massive floods carved deep canyons and valleys into the surface of the planet. She went on to say it's been known for a while that a few select Martian valleys were formed from lake overflow flooding, but our study is the first global analysis. Morgan and her colleagues applied algorithms to global maps of Mars to calculate the total eroded volume of valleys formed by lake breach floods. Their results showed that many Martian valleys are in fact more analogous to catastrophic floods on Earth, such as those that shaped the northwest United States at the end of the last glacial period. Some of the deep canyons and valleys of the Himalayas and Rocky Mountains were formed on Earth as glaciers melted over 15,000 years ago and lakes below overflowed their banks. Both on Mars and Earth, the catastrophic landscape-altering floods were driven by warming climates.
Mm-hmm.
Mars would eventually go on to lose most of its atmosphere and its surface water. Here on Earth, the climate has seen an accelerated warming of late, thanks to the human causes of climate change. So, it's actually pretty concerning. It's amazing how you're basically dealing with nature, a vast, powerful system that is just not as unstoppable as we would like it to be, but rather it's very unstoppable. If our climates raise too much, if waters overflow lakes and valleys, if climate changes significantly enough and it can cause something as heavy as a atmospheric deterioration, water no longer needs to be bound to the earth, so the water can leave the earth when it evaporates into the sky, and you're left with the Mars potentially, which is, it's scary how some of humans' actions can contribute to something that catastrophic. It would be catastrophic if something like that were to happen.
Would we dry out as humans since we consist of so much water?
You would have a very hard time surviving without water, that's for sure. And I don't think it would happen in 10 years. I don't think it would happen in 20 years. And I don't think on Mars it happened in under 100 years.
But that little girl who's going around at the climate things from Stockholm, Greta Thunberg, she's saying this is going to happen. She's warning the leaders, world leaders, and they're not listening.
It's very possible. And if you take a look at temperatures, regardless of climate change, regardless of that stereotype that climate change could be right, could be wrong, if you just look at annual temperatures from 1960 to 2021, the graph goes up.
Absolutely,
there's no other way to look at it other mm-hmm. than it's in a ascending pattern. And who knows what the limitation is? Who knows? Maybe we just have more sea than we do land if Antarctica melts. But at the end of the day, we don't totally understand nature and we don't totally understand the dynamic of our ecosystem. Yeah.
But everything is more severe, hey?
Mm.
Like, you'll still have storms, but they are more severe.
Like, Mars has an atmosphere that is 1/8 the density of Earth. And now that they're going into technically Mars's winter, where the Ingenuity helicopter is, the air is even less dense.
Oh dear.
So it's even more difficult for them to take flight. And you don't count that into a consideration when you're thinking about Earth. I mean, if we're really going into, you know, being skeptics, we could say that Mars might have been where humans originally started and they moved to Earth. And if that had to have happened and we end up destroying Earth, we're just like a parasite traveling through the solar system, just destroying planets.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it from a holistic perspective.
You just, my mind is, I got what you said there and it's twisting my brain now.
Yeah, if we don't do stuff to help the planet, you end up becoming a parasite of the Earth. Parasite, something that destroys the host in which it survives in, and we shouldn't be doing that. There are definitely initiatives in place to be more green energy. But like, even if you look at South Africa, you know, we generate 32,000 megawatts of electricity, and of that, 700 megawatts are solar, are renewable, are green.
Just that little bit, yeah.
Just that little bit.
Not enough. We must get rid of the coal-powered stations.
Yeah.
But I see they want to build another nuclear station now in South Africa, a second one.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Nuclear stations can help. And I think even in the Northern Cape, there was an approved bill I think it was 1.8 billion.
Yes, yes, we spoke about it.
To build.
Yeah,
and it contributed 100 megawatts.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah.
Of renewable energy.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Well, it took us from 700 of 32,000 to 800 of 32,000.
It's just a drop in the bucket, yeah.
It's going to take a lot. It's going to be hard. And also for things like electric vehicles, at the rate of production for electric vehicles to replace traditional combustion engines, it's not going to happen for 30, 40, 50, 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep going at the exact speed of exponential growth, it's not going to happen for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years.
Yeah,
and if the Earth
right.
doesn't have 30, 40, 50 years to maintain its climate, it's going to be a troublesome pattern. So we can look at other planets in our solar system and say, you know, what is happening there? What is the difference?
Yeah, it's scary, Kane. I read an article also where somebody said the Earth is going to be alien to us in 50 years or so from now.
I think
alien to us
with technology advancements, aliens. Definitely. You know, it could with, and I also think about it sometimes when I'm running through, you know, towns and stuff. You might live in a very busy city.
Mm.
Take all the construction away and imagine what was there before it.
Exactly.
It was a totally different world.
Yeah. What if it wants to restore it back to that? You know, that's where you get earthquakes and all that kind of stuff to get rid of the buildings. I don't know.
No, you never know. Never know.
But Greta Thunberg also said there's no planet B. We only have one planet to live on.
Yeah.
That we know we can live on.
Let's just hope Elon Musk's rockets fly better than his cars.
My word. Yes. Yeah. It might not be a falling star. It might be one of Elon's rockets coming for you next time you see a shooting star.
Let's hope for SpaceX and let's be mindful about climate change. Yeah. For sure.
Very interesting. I'm sure Greta Thunberg will agree with you. That's how you,
you
pronounce
that name.
Yeah, I don't know if
she's
it's
Russian
right.
or German.
No,
or what?
She's Swedish.
Swedish.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the right pronunciation. Oh, it's Greta Thunberg. I don't know. People, I've heard different pronunciations of that name. But she's a big advocate. She was the one who went she almost slapped Donald Trump at one stage.
Oh,
because
wow.
of the stuff he's saying.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't take cock, eh?
She's Swiss.
Yeah.
That's the proper characteristics.
Yes. And that's it. I can't believe it, man. Why is it over?
I know. We should extend our show to 2 hours.
How did it happen? Yeah, actually not a bad idea.
For the future.
Might look into that, yeah. Because it is Tech Plus, so it must be...
Where's the plus?
Yeah, Tech Plus Plus.
Tech Plus Plus. Yeah, that's what we should call our Friday show if we ever have one.
Yes.
Tech Plus Plus.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly. Well, Kane, as always, thank you for your very good contribution. What an interesting week once again for tech.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the next week. Really enjoyed being on the show this week. Had a lot of fun. Always have our good laughs.
Hopefully we'll be fine and still alive next week. The planet will still be here. And one of Elon's cars didn't come flying through the window or something.
No Teslas in South Africa, luckily.
You never know. Maybe somebody is about to launch it out of their garage.
Oh,
ready,
please,
for that first drive into somebody's house.
The first problem is find out how to charge it. If you can find out how to charge it, especially with load shedding, go for it.
Go for it. Kane, thank you so much. Until next time, same time, same place.
Absolutely. See you then.
Cheers.
To all of our viewers, thanks for listening. Chat to you guys later. Bye-bye.